Hello, we're on the air. Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook. We're going to start with a bit of breathing, relaxing, and just calming down and just centering ourselves. Now, you remember, some women remember the Lamaze method and breathing techniques. As you would remember, you take a deep breath in and blow it out as a cleansing breath, and blow it, breathe in, and blow out. Cleanse all the entities inside of you. Empty your mind, your body, and all the things that have been about you along the way. Breathe in and blow out. Now just think of anything that's peaceful. Find your happy spot and just hold on to it. Like the word light or shine or peace, tranquility, and just feel it for a second. Any descriptive adjective will do. As we travel out into the planet, to the universe, and just float, becoming just with self and with your God, Creator, the knowing, the great I Am. I am in me. Letting go of all the breeze and all things, and just float. Breathe in and blow out. There you go. Tonight we're going to talk about the ego and the self and what causes the things to happen along the way in your lives. Now, you can open your eyes and feel a little different. I know that you do. One thing I want to do explain, if we pant blow like we do when we're having a baby, that keeps you from being able to push and keeps you from being able to let things out inside your body. Like when I was having my Hardy Blows, I did the pant blow method so that I wouldn't scream and so that I wouldn't let go. I went when I breathe. That's why we do a cleansing breath of breathing in and blowing totally out. Like that. Okay, with that out of the way, when we are born, we are totally born here to just breathe and reproduce. The rest is man-made, totally man-made. We learn it from people, places, and things along the way. Our heart is the purest part, and the garden of our heart is God-centered. God gave us one gift, and that's His soul. He created us out of His image of His soul, all creatures. And so it goes. When we go into the forest and we're told no for the first time, that's when the ego is born, because the ego is the I Am. There's two egos. There's the spiritual ego, the I Am, Christ-centered, and there's the ego of I Am that is just the me part. Now the I Am, that's the me part, being told no, sees that as a control. And when you're told no in the control, you start bucking the system. Now, what we need to do is we need to learn how to listen to people say no to us. And what I've learned to do is say, yes, I will take that into consideration. And they don't know whether I did it or didn't do it, instead of complaining and argument. So, there's different steps and getting to the concept of letting go of the bondage of yourself. And the self-concept is the self-centered part, the conditioning part, which is the cause and effect, which limits our condition. In this context of this 12-step program, which there's many 12-step programs, there's the medicine wheel, the peace wheel, the AA 12-step, the codependency 12-step, but 12-step leads you to a lot of different ways of understanding things. If you take your life, before I get started again, what I did when I was waking up and when I was self-actualizing myself, I took all the values and morals that my parents and people along the way gave me as who I am and made a list, made another list of all the values and morals that I liked. And then I made another list of all the values and morals that were made that I knew of that I wanted to keep. And so I had to unprogram myself to become a me inside of me instead of the person that those other people had tried to make me to be. It was really difficult at first. It took years and years and years of practice, but it really doesn't. I just took the long route because I wasn't letting, as that song, what is it, Jesus Take the Wheel? I wasn't letting Jesus take the wheel. I was driving myself, and I was getting detours all along the way and getting lost and finding this place and that place and looking at the scenery. And anyway, so the context of the 12 steps are an inquiry that we hold of ourselves, which are actually not too hard to fathom. They're in our memory and our habits, and they're what we think of ourselves in a conditioning way. And they're actually not who we are at all. The representative of ourselves, defining the me, well, my own thought, is a self-gratifying process. I want to please myself, but I want to please God as well. I've come that far in my life. If I can do that, then I'll please others as well along the way. And another thing, I have to ask forgiveness of myself first, and then go to others and ask forgiveness, and then go to God and get forgiveness. And the notion of merely just thinking of myself in the independent concept, not thinking of what did this person do to me or what did that person do to me, but really just looking at myself, instead of what other people have done to me along the way. That was a really hard step for me. And so, defining me through my own self-gratification process, which both make up the existence of the ego, to see, this is a lot to grasp to try to explain. I'm going to try to simplify it. The notion of the self is merely just a series of behaviors that we act out upon, wrapped up within ourselves. Like, say, I'm addicted to controlling somebody, or, you know, keeping my house tidy, or keeping everything in ABC 123 order. Maybe people call that anal cognitive. Or maybe have my pet peeves. But is that really what makes me happy? The outside of me. You know, the outside of me is what is bringing on my ego that's inside of me. Because the outside world, the environmental world, and the humanistic world is what bothers the inside of me. It's just like your skin. if you fall down and get hurt, then that causes a feeling inside, which causes emotions, which causes trauma, which causes the brain to trigger. So, as a result in that, then it all goes simultaneously into one self-concept. If we base everything on an origin of misperception, which lacks in our ability to perceive anything truly, because we're not listening to our inside voice. We're listening to the outside of ourselves. So, since we're dealing with misconceptions, there's no way that we can do anything about the bondage that we've caused ourselves and to be able to truly overcome it. We have to have submission. We have to have submission to ourselves and surrender. And we have to understand where we're going with ourselves and what we're wanting out of it, like our values and morals. If we envision it and we know what we want, then we'll always get there. It's just like placing it out there and speaking it like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Then, you know, then it'll evolve. Because what we speak, so it will be. And what we think, so it will become. Being convinced of these things, and this concept of self, whatever, you know, it'll get broader and deeper in this power. But the thing that I feel that we're here to conquer is fear, because courage is fear that said its prayers. And taking account of how the self-centered part of us is thinking, and the judgments and the resentment that we have along the way, and the negative self-talk, it all convinces us that there's that ego that has to come up and just be the part that controls us, and that controls other people, and that controls the actions that cause reactions. It's kind of like a codependency. And so, if you think about it, then the belief systems that we've gotten inside of ourselves all web together from the people, places, and things that spun us together along the way. So, what I'm trying to get at is it's like self-intoxication, and we have to clean out the debris. So what I do is I do this meditation, and I pretend like my head is a Roto-Rooter, and I go through each part of my brain, and I Roto-Rooter it out, and I clean out all the synapses and the neurotransmitters of my brain, and reroute it, because every time we think a thought, that one thought, it goes into our subconscious mind, and it will keep thinking that thought until it makes a roadmap there. And it'll keep thinking that thought, and it'll subconsciously keep thinking that thought, and it'll make you stand on your head to get the conclusion to that thought. So we have to acknowledge that thought right away and dismiss it. And then there's the maintenance step, which is the meditations and the you know, making sure that you act upon what's bothering you right then, you know, the ego, and see that you're acting out, and see that the ego is being in charge instead of the I am ego. And then there's the contact with the higher self and the actual suffering along the way that gets you there. And the fastest, most certain way to get there is freedom. And that's what is revealed when you see the Mystery Keeper. We call it the Mystery Keeper because we are always looking for the answers to the Creator, to the knowing. And He is the mystery. God is the mystery. And there's so much to know about God that it's like solving the puzzle of the mystery. And so we continue on and on and on until we finally get answers. And then we get the answers to apply to the knowledge, which we apply to wisdom each and every day. And so it comes to living these ways and means and changing the way that we live our lives in a practical way, and the willingness, and keeping our side of the street clean inside of ourselves, changing our habits, changing our eating habits, changing the way we have to just rethink every way, shape, and form of the way we're going to think. And so what I'm trying to get at, another thing, is that, you know, there's like these spiritual gifts that we have, you know. And if you think of the spiritual gifts, everybody searches for their spiritual gifts. There's the words of wisdom, which means decision making and stuff like that. There's the words of knowledge, which are the actual facts that are inspired. There's faith, which is assurance of God. There's the healing, which is healing the sick or it's like the empathic. And there's the miracles, which are the natural laws, the works of power. There's prophecy, which is inspired from God as well, which is the word of God, which foretells many things with the mind of God, which is the prophecy judge. That's in Corinthians 14:9, Thessalonians 5:20-21. There's this discerning of spirit, which is knowing the feeling, like empathically, knowing the feeling of whether a spirit is good or not good, or a person, you know, if their means are well for you or not well for you. There's the spirit of tongue, and that is a language that is spoken, which I speak very much so in prayer. It's a prophecy type language that is spoken during prayer, and it's through one's own spirit. That's in Corinthians 14, I do believe, and it's usually interpreted by another person or three or more gatherings. And then there's the interpretation of tongues. Well, those are the gifts of the Spirit. And so, I'll get you something that would be very interesting. The, okay. I was going to tell you, you know, when I give a lot of taking people into the white room and taking people into the planet and bringing them back down into a color and an animal, picking an animal and choosing the water and them giving me descriptive adjectives, well, that's like cleansing out themselves and purifying themselves in a transit state and giving them a chance to allow themselves to be able to calm themselves and see who they are. Now, if you want to call in and get a reading or a meditative state or a color of a notebook or anything like that, then the numbers are 877-876-5227 to BBS Radio. Toll free is 888-815-9756, and the direct line is 530-876-3222. And one of my words that I got through speaking in a prayer was SEMA. And the meaning of SEMA was a form of a ceremony. It was really neat when I looked it up, because when I speak these words, I don't know what they mean until I look them up. And sometimes I have a couple of friends that help me along the way look up these words when I speak them. But it's on my page if you want to follow along with me. You just click my picture, it'll bring you to it. It means evolving. And it's evolving with different... Everybody has electrons, protons, neutrons, and atoms. Everything resolves. The human being lives within the means of revolution of these particles, a revolution in the blood and the body, and the revolution in the stages of the life, a coming form of the earth, and then returning to it. However, all of these revolutions are naturally and unconscious, but the human being possesses a mind called the intelligence and distinguishes him from the other beings and the world, whirling, devilish, demons, and intentionally and consciously participate in the shared revelation of other beings. So that gives a little bit about that. The goal is not to lose consciousness. It's to fall into a state of ecstasy, evolving in harmony with all and nature, which is what when I do the white room and the planet and the different colors and animals and stuff. And I just found this the other day, so it's really interesting to me. It gives a way of helping me to understand what, you know, what I learned how to do as a gift from God. And it gives you different ways to experience this, not just by the way that I do it, but just other different ways. If you want to go to that page and go to see what it's talking about. But the SEMA ceremony represents the being's spiritual journey, an accent by means of intelligence and love and perfection, turning towards the truth, and the growth of love, transcending the ego, there you go, meets the truth and arrives to perfection. Then he returns from his spiritual journey as one who has reached maturity and completion, able to love and serve the whole of the creation creatures without discriminating in regard of belief, class, or race. That's really a good thing. If we could all do that, just think of how the world would be. Talking about the ego again. Represents the tombstone of the ego. Wide white skirt represents the ego strap. By removing the black cloak, he spiritually reborn the truth in the beginning of the SEMA by holding his arms crosswise, and the SEMAZIN appears to represent the number one, testifying to God's unity, whirling his arms open. His right arm is directed by the sky, ready to receive God's benefit. His left hand is upon the eye of the fastness, is turned towards the earth, and the SEMAZIN conveys God's spiritual gift of those who are witnessing the SEMAZIN. Revolving right to the left into the heart, the SEMA embraces all humanity with love. The being are created with love and order for love. That's really neat. It consists of several parts and different meanings. Eulogy to the prophet, he represents love, to praise him, to praise God, to create him, and praise the prophets which precede him. Eulogy to follow the drum beat, or the kundam, symbolize divine command, B, K-U-N, and the reed of the flute, the nay, N-E-Y. This expresses divine breath, which gives life to everything. Oh man, this is so great. The walk, the veiled walk, to the music, greeting, it represents the soul concealed by the shape of body. During the SEMA itself is four shrams of musical movement, which is directed by rhythm. And then you feel one with God's unity. birth through the truth and the feeling of the mind. It represents the complete acceptance of the condition of the creatures and created by God. The second chant, S-E-L-A-M, Shilam, Shilam, expresses the rapture of the being. The human being witnessed the specter and creation in front of God's greatest omnipresence. The third Shilam is the rapture of dissolving into love and sacrifice and mind into love. It's complete submission, unity, and aspiration of self and beloved. It is the state of knowing of the Nirvana and the Buddhism and the Santa era in Islam. The next stage in Islamic belief is the stage of servanthood, represented by the prophet who is called the God's servant, most subsequently the messenger. The aim of the Shema is the unbroken ecstasy, loss of conscience, and the realization of the submission to God. In the fourth Shema, God, just as the prophet ascends the spiritual throne and the returns to the task of the earth, the whirling divish, D-E-R-V-I-S, and his accent of his spiritual journey returns to the task of servanthood and the service of God. In his prophet's book, in the whole creation of the Quran, it represents the Shura, Barha, and demonstrates his appearance. Arms continuously and harmlessly crossed and represents the unity of God. The ceremony ends with the prayer of peace and souls and all the prophets and believers and the completion of the Shema and the divish return silently to the room for meditation. Hello? Here's someone. That you said? Anyway, I just wanted to share that because so many of us go about our day, go about our business, go about our ways, and are in so much hurry that we forget. We just forget what we're here for is to evolve into selfhood of I am with the I am in God. That ego, not the ego, that is the person that has the actions that cause the reactions and the consequences. That is just what is this whole life about, you know? What did you ask yourself? What are you here for? And also, to learn from one another the good things and to share them, to share out and give out what you know another person has given you. Take what you can and keep it and share it. Give it out. Because if you just keep it, then what good is it if you don't give it out and share it? Brings me back thinking. No. All I have inside of me is my, all I have really is my inside of me. That's what I own. Materialistically, it's not. Because that doesn't go with me. It never will. And I don't care what people or places or anybody think of what I've got. It just doesn't matter. Of what people think of me, I've said it over and over. It's none of my business. People can shun me all they want to. They can, you know, act like they don't want to talk to me, or though I have a few hundred different groups of people, but then I have a different group of people that want to try to destroy me for some reason or another. But, you know, even in my family, you know, if you have your little communities here a lot, and I find the more love I give out and the more calmness I give out, the harder that person tries to, or those people try to push on. And I was writing something the other day about that, and it was that when someone's in the darkness and someone's hurt, they go to the brightest light they can possibly find in order to extinguish that light or to grab onto that light and hope that they can have some of that. But I want to say also, passion, the depth of your love and the depth of whatever that you feel, opposite in soul is that anger, that fear, that hurt. The thing that helps you have that two things. And when we speak out, whatever we're speaking out is what we need to hear for ourselves. Because we wouldn't be speaking it out if we didn't need to hear it for ourselves. But that's our truth. And our truth is what we feel of our own selves. So if I'm speaking something about another person, which I rarely do, if I speak something about somebody else or a rumor or whatever, it's what I'm thinking of my own self. Those exact words. Because I'm looking in the mirror at all times. It reflects right back into me. And that's the karma. But that's another self-evolvement. Speaking from your heart. Someone asked me the other day why I never turn on the TV. I don't even know what's on the TV. Someone turned on my TV about 6 months ago. I didn't even know it worked. The volume goes all the way up, and it's hard to get it turned down. But, you know, I don't want to feed my mind, my body, spirit, my soul with TV. But other things, I could be a monk. I could be another monk. Because I'm so into learning from the spirit, hearing from the spirit, not just looking for the compass, it's listening for the compass, active listening. What is active listening? What is patient? But I can make books that just goes to my vocabulary book first. Let's see. You know, what I open to in my communication works. 7th edition, Communication Works by Terry K.W.A.L. Gamble and Michael Gamble. It's my school book. And it's talking about lightning breaking something goes there. All I use is my school book. Oh, man. It's talking about emotional intelligence. It's talking about acceptance. It's talking about friendship. It's talking about role interactions, friendly relationships, moving towards friendship. It's talking about the different types of friendship. So that's what I needed to hear. I needed to hear what the truth of a friendship really, really is. It's talking about family relationships. Romantic relationship, work relationship, and your emotions is the answer. Emotions play a role in our relationship. What is it really like to be angry? What does your body feel like when and look like when you're angry? What does your face look like? Can you identify the types of situations in a friendship? Your panic relationship in your job, what makes you angry? Can you recall? Are you ever joyed being angry? Can you tell when a friend or family member or coworker becomes angry? There it goes back to the ego again. And I'm going to tell you, my dad told me one time, but I am listening. It's truly listening. And so I heard. I put some cotton in my mouth. I took it out of my ears. and I just went around not talking and just actively listening to every little thing. I used to get, and I still do, I'll get messages on billboards, or I'll listen to the person, not just say have a nice day, but what are they really saying? Do I want to take that and accept it into my body, mind, spirit, and soul? Yeah. And I want to also discuss empathy versus sympathy. My best friend's father died. And I congratulate her. The puppy had a good dad, and she was happy about it, and he went on to the other side, to the Golden Gate, and, you know, a lot of people say they're empathic. Well, empathic feel other people's feelings and carry them and take them on as a karma vehicle. So, and when people read other people and just spit out these readings, one after another, and don't cleanse themselves, and don't meditate before they read another person, isn't that bringing on this other person's karma? A karma vehicle? Because how can you read another person and give them input, go into that person's spiritual realm and into their energy field, read the person, give them the input, and then pull out and take another read and do it again without having some of that energy left upon you from the other read? It's not fitting. Anyway, that's just me. If anybody can teach me that, that would be great. No, it's shielding, but anyway. Everybody has their different ways. I've been looking at how to move, and I don't want to move. Kind of mellow tonight, as you can tell. Sad. Move. Got some work to do. Got a lot of orbs and a lot of spirits in it. I have to move away for it to get worked on. Then maybe I'll be back on the surface. There's that. I just put that on the work. And I'm going to have to get that pacemaker in my heart. Enough. I need y'all's prayers. I'm actively asking for prayers for Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders. Heal my heart. Not to have to have surgery. But it's taken over my life. It's hard for me to ask things. I don't normally ask things. Okay. Now, if you'd like to call in for anything, just discuss or just call. The call-in numbers are 877-876-5227. Toll-free number is 888-815-9756. And the direct line is 530-876-3222. What's that? Talk about. I think you can open up. You can think of a talk. Any talk box it. Get a good book. Something you really, really like. I open up that book. I open up that book. Just read the line. And that line is going to give you a good answer. Really good. I'm going to do it right now. Most translators have chosen context can determine past, present, and future. Surely, Bering agreed. Well, that said a lot because I was bearing my grief about my heart, the past, present, future about my heart, asking for prayers. I don't know why people don't ever call in for me to get them a read. You know, like 90% accurate. But that's okay. Evidently, nobody needs any judgment. An intuitive consultant, per se. What is self? Self-fulfilling prophecy is what you put out there. They become truth. So I'm going to get out some of my journal. I think that's the best thing to do. To the null, or be trespassing from a consciousness into consciousness in time. Eternally, always, forever, into infinity, I'm. If you buy your time, here we go. I've turned this word in my head. It was called PUTA, P-U-T-A. I kept hearing it spiritually over and over and over. And so I wrote to my aunt about it. And I said, what do you think the word PUTA means? And believe it or not, it meant coming to the light. And the moth previously, in a dream I had had since that day, was just that. It was really a lot because the word PUTA means it's like this light that we have, that we're constantly searching for. In a busy dream, you know the moth looks little like the business tree as well. And I'm going to tell you, my heart is right. Just bear with me.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Hello, I'm back on the air. They seem to have lost me, but I'm right where I put myself. I was talking about taking a deep breath and centering myself because I was having a little bit of pitter-pat. So I'm going to have to just bear with me with my little heart condition until I get it fixed, but I appreciate it. All the love and concern. Anyway, I have to accept the responsibility of myself and get myself to the doctor. Okay, I want to just read a little something in my philosophy of what happens when I think of the debris and all the worries that are like a rocking chair. And also I want to think that we have this garden inside of ourselves. And you can take the walk of all the situations along the way. And you can place the rocks all around your beautiful garden. And you can make it the most beautiful garden. And all those rocks that were heavy burdens can keep all the weeds out of your garden of your heart. Or you could also throw them in a creek bed. And the creek bed will make a river bed and make the boulders. But rocks are really beautiful. They're the scars that have caused things along the way. And you own them. I own mine. Nobody can take them away. But we don't have to keep carrying them around because they're in the past. We have to stay in this moment, this present moment. Always remember that, staying in the moment. Because guilt is self-inflicted and shame is placed upon us. No one can make us feel guilty. No one can make us feel that. We cause ourselves guilt. There's false guilt and there's real guilt. For an example, say I'm going out somewhere and I'm going to go and visit someone. And say my mother lives with me and she can say, "Well, you go on and have a good time. Well, I'm just going to sit here and do nothing while you're gone." And so the whole time I'm at the gathering where I went or the party or whatever, I'm sitting there thinking, "Mama's home all alone doing nothing. Poor Mom. And, you know, she's gotten really old and she doesn't have nothing to do, so I'm feeling guilty about it." That's false guilt because she placed that upon my head and my mind before I left. Now, healthy guilt is if you've taken something or if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing and it goes against your self-motivational skills or your self-actualized skills, something that you've programmed yourself not to do and you're doing against it, say like a diet, you know, and you cheat on the diet. And then you feel guilty about it. Well, that's a healthy guilt because you're wanting to get back on track. Now, shame is placed upon you. Someone shamed you. Someone like that takes away a right of yours or invades your privacy or stalks you or, you know, makes up lies or does the, gossip or makes you an identity that's really not your own identity and they're shaming you. That's placed upon you because you did not do that. That is fake and false. Those are some good pointers to have along your way. And the self-awareness of growing stronger and stronger and stronger as I talk on the BBS radio show. And so it goes. And labeling. Let's talk about labeling. What is a label? And who placed the label upon you when you yourself know who you are? Because the normal is normal does. The normalness of who you are inside yourself, because we're unique. No one else is made like us. I don't care what anybody says. You say, I'm just like them, or I'm just like that, or I got that from my mother or father. Well, you know, even a Jell-O mold can't be reproduced. Jell-O, because it's got its air pockets, you know, that it's been made. Different little air pockets along the way. Nothing can be reproduced or copied. And so, I'm going to give myself a little reading. Now open the notebook. I open to insight. Nothing's by chance. Life is a journey. Facing challenges. Going into the forest. To focus on perspective of patterns. God's plan for me. To plan goals and options. I have choices to choose. What's chosen that hasn't worked? Why? The manipulation of learned behavior, of control from others. They've taken power back and gave power of control. Thank you for your input. I will take it into consideration. I turned to this big, thick journal. But I said that at the beginning of the show, and here we're wrapping up the show. Either do it or do your own thing. That will never know unless you alter your life and the job switching. Some people like the job switch, marriage or a new car or role, etc. Create your own reality. I just said that too. To give yourself the opportunity for growth. Mind is there. Your mind is there to help you solve problems. Why will it keep working? Subconscious never stops. Gosh, this is wrapping up everything we talked about tonight. And something, even though you dismiss it, the subconscious continuously is to solve and putting up all kinds of pleasures in order for the painful past to twist to your reality, to avoid the guilt and make excuses for others, to accept the reasons, dismiss the mind that keeps bringing it up. This is so bizarre. That's just so how readings go, though. We will continue to solve it and get our mind's full self to get it back into control of the mind and can choose to think that thought in 5 minutes and then spend the 5 minutes, then lay there and choose to think that thought then or again in 5 minutes again until it is gone. Or even you can call someone and they will listen or either write it down into the response back as if the person or actions or thoughts are the answers. Then deal with it by emptying the thought. Power is the bait on the hook, and the hook loses its power when the answer is known. That's how the journals work. They give you exactly what you need every time. So that is exactly what I needed to hear for you to listen. Thank you, BBS Radio, and everyone that was listening tonight and listened to the archives for listening to the Bright Lights Pathfinder show, Kathy Cook, because this was an excellent, excellent lesson for me. All I need to know is right inside of myself, all along, the higher power of God, when we are born, and He planted a seed of knowledge, right and wrong, and by the lessons of life, never answered there, always a reason, as to why we are right where we're supposed to be. Right as a part of the destination, the outcome, God already knows before it's done and doesn't even place any more on us what we need, and we can take care of it because He knows what we can take care of, and we can take care of that ourselves. And the harmony and wholeness that has always been there is a choice that we choose to allow others to affect us. Our daily life and our places and things is impossible to avoid. The right attitude and staying in tune with our higher self and our higher power in God, taking the time out when the going gets rough, even in meeting, excuses go, like going to the bathroom, driving in traffic, the mind thought saying stop out loud, concentrate on a word, a happy word, a happy thought, and quiet himself with the voice within, the acceptance. And don't fight it. Remember, there's choices. Bad moods are a choice. Don't stay in that space. Get out of that space. Your mood is a monopoly of effects of energies and a virus that can get inside of yourself to say, hey, stop. Hold your hand out. Make that stop stop. So, I'm going to leave you with, put on the armor of God. That's Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. Stand firm, therefore, having girt your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of the righteousness, having shod your feet with preparation and the gospel of peace. In addition, take up the shield of faith, and whereby you're able to extinguish all flaming missiles of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And with prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, in the view of being alert of all for surveillance and petition of the saints. Your heart is the very core of your life, and you are seated at all times in believing with the Holy Spirit, and indicates possession of security. The seal is the believer's guarantee to the security of his salvation. And with that, it is time for me to hang up because there is another show coming on, and this is Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook, and I hope you've enjoyed the show mentally as I have learned from myself to thine own self be true, and remember, stay in the moment. Always, always stay in the moment. And remember, whatever you speak and who you speak about, blessed be one's name. Blessed be one's name because you put out there the energy and you want to put out the positive energy. Brightest blessing forever and a day. Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders. Thank you, BBS Radio, Don and Seth, for all that you do. I'm out of here.